Okay. Thank you, Tim and Judith. That water flowing and how it works itself around the rocks and even smooths them over the years. It came to me during this exercise, that's a metaphor for our own movement. That's what it's about. It's that we keep flowing and there are obstacles. We not only work our way around them, we also smooth them over the years so that they actually fit in to what we look like. A stream has rocks. Our life has obstacles. And somehow they work together to create something beautiful. That something beautiful is ourselves when we're in motion. And that's our overall topic. How do we stay in motion when it's important to be in motion? And how do we pause when it's time for that? So sometimes I'm the stream and sometimes I'm the lake. And one, how do I know which one I will best be in this moment? And how do I tune in to a timing that the universe has, which may have nothing to do with what my thinking mind tells me? Thinking mind might say, stay put, when the real message is move on. Thinking mind might say, move on, when it's time to pause. So I'd like to begin this time, as we did last time, in a contemplative way, by looking at a kind of shall we say, spiritual affirmation that will help us with our overall topic. And all the notes that you'll be seeing are from the book. Our book is called Ready, How to Know When to Go and When to Stay. Can everybody see this? Okay, Cynthia, can you hear me?
Yes, we can see it.
Okay, would you read this first part for us, please? Slowly.
Something, we know not what, we know not how, without our invitation or exertion, is always alert to how and when we can make our move. Then amazing grace kicks it to help us. May I trust this process. May I be thankful for the graces that await me everywhere. We affirm our trust that we will change what in our lives is ready for change. We affirm our trust that we will stay with what in our lives is ready to become better. We affirm our trust that we are ready to move along at least an inch on our life journey, and the timing of the universe is aligning with us.
Thank you, Cynthia. So beginning with this mystery that there seems to be something afoot in the universe, you could call it God, higher power, or universe itself, and we can't name it. Remember that when God appears to Moses on Mount Sinai, Moses immediately asks what all humans ask, which is, what's your name? Who are you? And the answer he gets is, I am who I am. In other words, it'll always be a mystery. What will always be a mystery? This power that's beyond ourselves and at the same time in ourselves. And this has to be okay. We're not trying to know We're just letting it be okay that we never will know fully, and we're rejoicing that we live in a world of mysteries. Secondly, we don't even know how this graceful presence is doing what it does. But look, it doesn't even require that we invite it in or put out a certain effort for it to happen. This something, which is grace, higher power, is always on the alert and is helping us know when we can make our move. Sometimes the move is an actual move, and sometimes it's staying with something so that it will work just through our staying. And when we go along with this, an amazing grace kicks in to help us. Look, nothing to do, no exertion, not even an invitation. Then what will our part be? Simply trusting. I'm going to trust that there's more going on than just what I do. And secondly, I'm thankful. Now I even understand that this grace is everywhere and it's waiting for me. This leads us to our affirmations. There are three. First, we affirm our trust that we will change what in our life is ready for change. May I have the serenity to accept what I can't change and the courage to change what I can. We affirm our trust that we will stay with what in our lives is ready to become better, such as a relationship, and we're going to do the work that it takes so that we can stay and work it through. And finally, we affirm our trust that we are ready to move along, even if it's just 1 inch on our life journey. And most importantly, the timing of the universe is aligning itself with us. I'm not alone in this work. There's something that's joining me. It's a kind of presence. It's a kind of animating spirit. It's a Holy Spirit. And it leads me to trust it and myself. What do I trust about myself? That I will respect the timing of the universe, and it's always aligning itself with me. So, some reflections on this little introduction. Anything in here that strikes you or that you have a comment about or a question? Our topic is spiritual, deeply spiritual. It's not simply about psychological change. It's about tuning in to a bigness that wants to be part of me. I don't invite it, it invites me. Last time I gave the quote from the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So there's a power knocking at the door. What door is that? The door of our hearts. What kind of entry does it want? It just simply wants to come in. And when it comes in, it nurtures us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will open the door and let me in, I will sit and sup with him and he with me. Any reflections that you have, or any way in which you see this as a challenge?
I hear someone unmuting over there. Does anybody want to share?
I will. It's Maura. Hey, Dave. Hi, Maura. Thank you. Hi there. I kind of feel like sometimes if we open the door and let that mysterious force of the universe come in, that sometimes it may be nurturing, but sometimes I feel like it might turn our house upside down. You know, like it's not always necessarily neat and nice and or what we want in a way, you know. Like it has a mind of its own, perhaps, but it can be very challenging, you know, to open the door for that. So I wonder if you had any thoughts about it when it's not always a pretty scene.
Yeah, it may not be pretty.
Right.
Maybe challenging. It would be a matter of trusting that what happens is for my evolutionary benefit. And so pretty, not pretty, challenging, comforting. I take it all in stride. That's how much trust I have. Trust in what? Trust that there's something that I can't name, whose actions I can't quite track, whom I don't have to invite or put out effort to enlist, is always and already alert to how and when I can do whatever I need to do next on my journey. Okay, Peggy?
Yes, Dave, I...
Hi, Peggy, it's nice to see you again.
Hi, it's nice to see you. I am really feeling the universe has brought me to a place where I am ready to affirm my trust in it, in the universe. And I started with you several years ago when we delved into the shadow dance and had a couple of very trying years looking at the shadow, my shadow, and have done several years worth of work on that. So I'm kind of thrilled that I did my work, danced through the shadow, have come out, and it's time to start trusting and feeling the amazing grace. And that's the thing that I would like to share with everyone. As it's presented, no matter what it looks like, how deeply dark you have to go, do the work, and that will also change into a moment where you can feel the grace. And you can feel the timing of the universe.
Thank you, Peggy.
So I'm very deeply grateful.
Okay. Appreciate your comments. Okay, Jackie.
There are those times when we open the door and nobody's there, or at least so it seems. I think that's what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. How do you propose, what do you think is the best way of handling that? Do we close the door and go back into our hole? Do we leave the door open and just sit there and wait? How do we trust this dark night of the soul to go away?
It would be that the one who knocks will either be saying something like it's time to make a move, or sometimes just be silent with you.
Well, sometimes
that
it
will be a deeper connection.
Is not there.
Pardon, Jackie?
Sometimes it feels, when you open the door, that the one who knocks has simply slipped away.
Yeah, that's the mystery of faith. Faith is trusting presence when all we find is absence. And this is a psychological truth also, because a baby comes into the world without the ability to know that when the ball rolls behind the couch, it's still there. Baby thinks when the ball is not visible, it has disappeared. But between the ages of 1.5 and 3, we learned that there's such a thing as absence while presence is still happening. So mother leaving the room does not mean she has disappeared or broken the connection with us. Our bond goes on, even in her absence, even in her silence. I can trust that she's with me. That little developmental achievement that's so simple is the origin of our capacity for faith. Because God invisible, grace not quite nameable, and we can't quite track it, yet we trust that it's really happening. So sometimes you open the door and the one who had knocked has simply stepped away, because the message for you is look outside into the emptiness. Sometimes when you open the door, someone's standing there, because the message is I support you in what you're about to do. Sometimes you open the door and the presence steps in and sits at the table with you and shares with you, because now you have found a soulmate. So our trust in ourselves will be, I'll handle whatever happens when I open the door.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Somebody else have a comment? We're going deep into these topics, and it's a wonderful thing for us to do. Just giving you a summary of the book, I don't want to do that. You can read it on your own if you want. I'm just going to go to like the deeper points, and starting this way in a contemplation of what's going on is so important. The word contemplation comes from two Latin words, con and templum. Con means within, and templum means temple. So in ancient Rome, certain priests had the ability to read signs and symbols and to give you information about how to make a certain choice, or when the time has come to make a change. So the way this worked was the temple, in fact, the word Vatic, V-A-T-I-C in English, means ability to tell the future. So Vatican, the Vatican Hill had a temple that you would go to if you wanted to find out what choice you should make. And this temple had had the four sides, and in the middle it had a courtyard, which you see in Italy all over the place, with no roof. So the priest would take your question, sit in the center of the courtyard, look up, and he could tell you by the kinds of birds that flew over, the direction the birds were taking, and the time it took for the birds to fly over, he could tell you about your future. We would think of this as superstition, of course, but it does tell us that humans have always trusted that there's a power in nature that somehow has to do with us and that somehow helps us. That's the same as, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's knocking at the temple? The birds that are flying over. Let's see. Somebody else had a question. Was that you, Kate? Yeah. Hi, Kate. Nice to see you again.
Hey, nice to see you too. I've been thinking a lot over the years about my gut instincts and trusting my gut. And I could tell quite a number of stories of where my gut told me something and I didn't listen. And in retrospect, my gut was right and I didn't trust my gut. And so I'm curious because I've always thought that there was kind of a difference between trusting my instincts and the notion of divine guidance. And so I'm curious what you have to say about that. Like my sense of divine guidance was that it was just totally clear. I wasn't second guessing it the way I second guessed my gut. And I'm not sure, I just would be curious to hear your thoughts and reflections on the notion of gut instincts and divine guidance.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I go with the trio. So it's mind, heart, gut. When mind, heart, and gut agree on a certain choice that you're facing, that's the equivalent of something aligning itself, and you can usually trust it. As far as divine guidance, it would be supported by dreams and synchronicity, like weird coincidences will start to happen for you. And you'll hear your choice mirrored and reflected by people around you, even strangers. But we begin with, you know, what does the trio say? And the trio works in harmony, like a trio of instruments. Feels good to my mind, feels good to my heart, feels good to my gut. Only feels good to my mind? That's not the full intuitive sense. Okay, anybody else?
Thank you, that was helpful.
Thank you, Kate. All right, well, Kate Dean, would you read this to us once more?
Good morning.
Hi.
Which part would you like me to read,
David? The whole thing.
Okay. Something. We know not what, we know not how, without our invitation or exertion, is always and already alert to how and when we can make our move. Then amazing grace kicks in to help us. May I trust this process. May I be thankful for the graces that await me everywhere. We affirm our trust that we will change what in our lives is ready for change. We affirm our trust that we will stay with what in our lives is ready to become better. We affirm our trust that we are ready to move along at least an inch on our life journey. And the timing of the universe is aligning itself with us.
Thank you, Kate. It's an important way to start the process.
I have a question, Dave, if I may.
Yes,
It's Elaine.
Yeah, I know it's Elaine. I don't see you here.
Well,
maybe you're on the next page. Go ahead.
I understand the difference between the intuitive sense of being in the trio working together. Now, how does that relate to the divine guidance? Or do they work in sync?
Yeah, they work together. That what we call our intuitive sense is actually our connection to a guidance that's bigger than what our minds, with our level of knowledge, can encompass. So what intuition does is it moves you into a larger power of knowing, a larger capacity of knowledge than you really have. And so you get a little more, or a lot more, than the limits of your mind, the limits of which is based on knowledge, the limits of your heart, which is based on how you relate, and the limits of your gut, which tells you what your body is up to in this whole thing. But the intuition is the connecting point to a larger way of knowing. We are not giving our intuition enough credit. We're thinking of it just as a mental capacity. But what I'm proposing is that when the intuition comes from a trust in the trio, it connects you to a transcendent way of knowing. It'll be from this. That's what you'll be contacting when you're intuitive.
So it is a way to connect with this divine guidance.
Yeah.
The pathway to divine guidance.
Yes. What is divine guidance? It's that there's information in you about what comes next for you on your journey, and that this information is activated by a spiritual power or presence. How do I make contact with this spiritual power or presence? I trust it and I'm thankful for it. Mm-hmm. I trust it when it's silent too. I'm thankful for it when I hardly see it happen. Or another way of saying it is, I'm not alone in the universe.
Thank you.
Dave, I'm wondering if you could give us the pages numbers if people have the book.
Yeah, it's 160. Okay, and we already talked about this. Now, last week someone, maybe it was Maura, I'm not sure, someone brought up a question and I didn't think of another part of it till after the class was over, so I'm going to say it now. Someone said, well, I can't really leave the Catholic Church. It just seems to be in me. It's like it's been imprinted in every cell of our body starting at age 7. And, how do I let it go? It comes up as a question for some people. But here's my answer. We can't leave our past, only make peace with it. And the analogy I use is from the Civil War. This occurred to me. At the end of the Civil War, North and South, North won the war. But North can't leave South. Only go to Appomattox. Appomattox is the courthouse in which General Grant from the North and General Lee from the South met together and signed an agreement that they would all come back to the Union. So we can't leave our past, we can only do what the two generals did. You meet and you talk about how we could find a way to live together. So I'm just throwing that in because it might help when you look at issues. Like, how do I let go of something that was drilled into me so deeply that no matter what, it keeps coming back? Everybody follow? Okay. Also, I would like to recommend, if you do have the book, if you could read the first three chapters for next time. And notice at the end of chapter two, I have my week of meditations on going. And today we're leaving our topic of going. And next time we'll be on our topic of staying in something that could work. But the meditations will pull it all together for you. And just start with whatever day of the week you start doing this. For instance, if you start today, just start with Thursday. And it's a quotation and a series of questions that you can reflect on in your journal. Now, one of the ways that we get hung up and we can't either move when we need to move or stay when we need to stay is that there's an inner critic inside who's telling us we can't do either one. And so now I'm on page 70 of the book. And I would like to share what I'm recommending. So let's start with this. And Alice McDonald, would you read what's in blue?
Sure. Call on the spiritual resource that fits for you. Ask for support in your practice. Bodhisattvas, help me focus on your wisdom and compassion. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your gifts. Help me appreciate them and put them to use. May the universe join me in my personal evolution.
Thank you. So if your practice is Buddhist, you start with enlisting the help of bodhisattvas. These are the enlightened ones who are like saints who are guardian angels who keep helping us who are on the path. If you come from a religious point of view, you call upon the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit with the grace of wisdom, courage, and love. And if you don't go with Buddhism or with religion, but simply with nature, then you go to, may the universe join me in my personal evolution. Or you could do all three, if you have it all integrated. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to apply this to our topic. And I'm going to give examples that show you how it works, because these are three voices that I'm proposing would countermand the voice of the inner critic that says, it's too scary to go, stay put, or it's not worth it to put energy into this, so don't do any work on it to make it better, or don't trust the timing of the universe. And we have three spiritual resources we can go to: bodhisattvas, Holy Spirit, universe. Okay, Pat McClure, could you read this section?
Here are three examples of combining the above practice with these spiritual resources. Inner critic. You make stupid mistakes because you're stupid. Your sane voice. Like all humans, I sometimes make mistakes. I also make up for them when I can. Your higher self. I have received the gift of wisdom. May it keep opening in and through me. It is opening right now in this practice that I am doing and being.
Thank you, Pat. So Now we're going to hear what the inner critic says. So here's the inner critic speaking to you in your mind. You no longer just have to hear the inner critic and suddenly feel weakened. You can access your sane voice and your spiritual voice. The spiritual voice will have one of these three: Buddhist, religious, spiritual, or nature. That's this part. So the inner critic says you make stupid mistakes. The sane voice says, yes, that's right. Like all humans, I make mistakes. So what? I saw an old movie and Alexis Smith was having an argument with her sister, who was telling her about all the big mistakes she made in her life, maybe including marrying Clark Gable. And I know I'm dating myself. Anyway, Alexis Smith said this, and I immediately wrote it down. I said, wow, this is my affirmation. She said, sure, I've made mistakes. Who hasn't? I thought, yeah, she's joining all the other humans. We all make mistakes, and so what? And then you go to your higher self. But I have wisdom inside me. I'm not really stupid. I have the gift of wisdom. To say I'm stupid is to deny that there's a Holy Spirit. This Spirit is opening in and through me. It's even opening right now by doing this practice. Okay, let's take another one. Dave Lazzaroni, would you read for us?
Inner critic, you will never amount to anything. Your sane voice, like all humans, I will sometimes be successful and sometimes not. I commit myself to do all I can to live a worthwhile life. Your higher self, I am of great value to myself, others, and the world. May I deeply grasp this and be thankful for it.
So the sane voice is always the sane voice never denies the original inner critic. The sane voice says, like all humans, yeah, that's sometimes true of me, but it's also true that at times I will be successful. And what matters is that I keep committing myself to fulfill that. And then the higher self goes even for higher stakes. I am of great value and I'm thankful for it. Okay, let's try this one. Stephanie, could you read for us? Stephanie, are you here?
Now that I found the unmute button, yes.
Okay, great. Hi.
Hi. Inner critic, you have nothing to offer a partner or a career. Your sane voice, like all humans, I have some valuable qualities. I will keep gaining knowledge and skills. I have no control over whether someone will see them, but I will keep showing them. Your higher self, I have all the effulgent virtues and graces that any humans may have. I also keep upgrading my skill set to fulfill my calling. May I be thankful and keep sharing my gifts with the world around me.
And you notice how you always go to the gratitude. What a wonderful way to work with the inner critic. To begin with hearing what the inner critic says. We don't try to cancel it out. I hear the voice that says you have nothing to offer. And who knows where that came from? Parents, school. Then you access your sane voice. This is your healthy self. And you always agree. Yes, like all humans, sometimes I don't have much to offer, but I also do have valuable qualities. And then your higher self always goes for more. Not only do I have some valuable qualities, I even have all the effulgent, that means light-giving. I have all the light-giving virtues and graces that any humans could have. I have the same graces and virtues that the saints had. And I'm also upgrading my skill set to fulfill my calling. So today, our overall topic and the question that you'll now be taking into the breakout rooms is very simple. It's how am I trusting my inner self? With all that you've just heard about the trust, and now having a very specific way to respond to the inner critic, which says you can't trust yourself, it's how am I trusting my inner self?